Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this April 13th, 2023. 7:04 on the clock. You got your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. I am joined by my head of production, our head of production, not just my personal head of production.
He's got a lot of stuff to produce, folks. I mean, you know.
Trying to make me sound good is not easy, people. It's a 24/7 job. That's why we have Seth Habhager, the best ears in the business, with us.
Good morning, everyone.
Seth and I are going to have some fun this morning. We are going to get into some history for a moment.
Yeah.
And we're also going to touch on some of our weekend programming. Before we can get to any of that, we also have to touch on America's favorite baseball mascots. We've got to get into that.
Okay.
And as long as we're talking about baseball, we want to get into the MLB's shorter games and how that is affecting beer sales.
Ooh.
Which is what really matters to fans. mascots and beer sales. That's what we're really hitting on here. Seth, all we want to do is talk about stolen bases and those things. But no, this is what we're talking about.
My beer drinking time is going down.
10 scams that always fool people. That should be a good one to get
interesting,
into.
Interesting, yeah.
The top distractions that we have while we are driving. Doritos is doing something weird.
Oh, no.
And we're going to kick off the 8 o'clock hour with one I've been sitting on. I'm just waiting to do this one with you. Movie characters who are basically impossible to kill.
Ooh, oh, you mentioned something like that. That's a good one.
To do this
That's
one.
A good one.
It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
8 o'clock hour. Actually, just a little bit. We'll get into our National Day of calendar. Then we'll have Melissa's news, have some of these topics for you. 8 o'clock hour, we will have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, along with being joined live and direct from our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to all of that. In the 9 o'clock hour, we are jam-packed. We will kick it off, of course. It's Thursday. That means Madison and our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society are going to join us.
Nice.
Always excited to talk to them, see what furry friend Madison brings for us this time. Shout out to our friends at the Kellner Club. Love our friends over at the Kellner Club.
Yes.
Sponsoring this segment right here. We greatly appreciate that. We encourage you to learn more about the Southwood County Humane Society. You can do some homework before the segment.
There you go.
SWCHS.com. SWCHS.com. Be sure to support the Humane Society and all that they are doing. We're going to talk a little bit about Pet Palooza. WFHR's Pet Palooza coming up.
That's great.
I'm so excited about this.
This is going to be really cool.
I have a hard time saying, because I thought the original Lollapalooza was pretty good.
Yeah.
This we could top this. We could top it.
I think we can.
I'm excited about this. This
legendary
is going to be a lot of fun.
In the local annals.
And after that, sometime after that, I would say between 9:20, 9:30, Mary Bell Miller is going to join us.
Yes.
She's part of an all-girls troop, 9118, part of the Boy Scouts, and working for her Eagle Scout badge.
That is so cool.
She organized a blood drive over at Assumption High School. That blood drive is taking place tomorrow. It'll be going from 9 a.m. till noon. Again, over at Assumption, which is at 445 Chestnut Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Encourage you to give them a call at 715-842-0761, 842-0761. Very excited to talk to her about this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Young people, man. They are getting things done. There is no longer waiting until you're a certain age to do things or any of that. They are just getting things done.
This is really cool because, as I think I've mentioned on the show before, I'm an Eagle Scout myself.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that they have an all-girl troop in town here. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And also, one of the biggest things to get your Eagle is you have a project you have to do, a service project.
Oh.
It's called the Eagle Project. And you have to pick, and it's got to be, it's supposed to be, you know, a bigger deal. You know, you're supposed to, it's more about leadership. It's about you planning and getting the people together to do it, kind of thing. So I think this is really cool. This is a great Eagle project to do a blood drive. That's really cool because blood drives are a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work to put these together. So
that is really cool. I didn't know any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched The Last Boy Scout like 30 times. Does that count?
No.
Okay. One of the greatest beginnings of a movie ever. Like, it's hard to is a crazy. It's Billy Blanks, by the way. That
that's
guy,
right.
The lead foot, the running back that's running in that.
Yes, that's
crazy.
Forgot about that. Oh my gosh. So weird. Anyway.
9 o'clock hour will also feature some entertainment stories after we're done talking with Madison and Mary Bell. I just realized that. I love
Madison
that.
Madison and Mary Bell.
That's so great. I love it.
Country duo there.
Nice. Yeah. We've got some. That actually would be a good. Yeah, I can hear that. We've got to talk about the Library of Congress a little bit. They've introduced some new stuff.
That's always fun. Yeah.
I always find that cool. I always find it interesting.
What they do, yeah.
They're the Harry Potter. Potter TV series is getting a little more depth to it. We're beginning to understand what that is going to be. We'll get into that with you. And another streaming service is out there and looking for your dollars and looking for your eyeballs. We're going to talk about that as well. That Ain't Right stories coming up. Good stories of the day. You know how this show works.
Yeah,
the usual, unusual suspects. We're here for you, and we're going to make sure that your day starts local, positive, and fun.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we mentioned with that is local, and Pam found this article the other day. We've got some interesting things going on behind the scenes here, and us as a team, as a staff, are working together a very cohesive unit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we came across in our findings, I should say Pam came across, was this article here, Seth.
Yes. This is from the Friday, November 8th, 1940 edition of the Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune. And it's all about the WFHR opening up, starting broadcasting for the first time. And there's an article here called Dedicated to Public Service by Its Owner. Now, the owner and founder of WFHR, William F. Huffman, WFH. That's where it comes from. That's right.
There
so those
is.
Of you who didn't know, now you know. It's all about the reasoning why he wanted to do it, why he wanted to start a radio station. Apparently, he'd been in this for like 9 years.
Yeah.
In 1931 is when he started to start the ball rolling, mm-hmm. to get a station set up. That 9 years to get there.
Yeah.
But the most interesting thing about this that Pam pointed out to us, and I think we want to share with everyone, is what he wanted the station to be.
Yes.
And here's a quote from him. After all, the public acceptance merely confirms our idea of public service, because the station is not mine. It is not the station of the staff. It is the station of the people of the area. Many are volunteering services and talents, happy in the opportunity to furnish information and entertainment to their fellow citizens. Continuing on, it will be our constant aim to make the programs of the station the kind of programs which people want. The helpful suggestions and criticisms of everyone are
appreciated.
Is that what that is?
Yeah,
appreciated. Yes. Very small writing there.
Yeah.
My eyes are getting worse.
What was the opening headline?
Dedicated to Public Service by Its Owner.
And dedicated that's to public service.
Yep, that is the headline for that. And it was a whole spread here. I mean, the whole newspaper had a big spread about it. And it's really cool. The fact that we're still doing the same thing.
Right.
82, this year will be 83 years.
Yes.
Later, WFHR is still doing the same thing.
We're still here.
We are still here.
We are here. We are still here. We're doing this, and mm-hmm. we're going to keep doing this. And we're going to keep to that same mission, mm-hmm. that it started with.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a lot of different owners since then.
Oh, yeah.
And even in recent years, we've had three different owners. Mm-hmm. We've been through some programming changes. We're going to be going through some other changes and such. We will still continue to be here fighting the good fight, rooting for, pulling for our area, and giving you local content. There's a twofold here. One, I love history, and I just think that's cool. But also, obviously, reaffirming what we are here at WFHR, that we are local programming, that we broadcast live from Central Wisconsin, that we are Central Wisconsin.
Right.
Radio is not a one-size-fits-all. You cannot play the same stuff that you play in Los Angeles that you can here. Mm-hmm. You can't play the same stuff you do in Madison that you do here.
Right.
That's okay. That's actually one of the coolest things I think about radio.
Absolutely.
Is working to an audience, mm-hmm. instead of just pushing what you want on them.
Yeah.
Just telling them what to listen to. Guess what? They're not going to listen. They're just going to flip the channel and they may not come back.
Yep.
I have a perfect example of this, and it's right there. Out of what Seth was just reading, it came from us, from the Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune. Mm-hmm. I have nothing against the Tribune.
Yep.
I've read the Tribune when I first lived here and everything. I haven't read it in years because I can't afford the paywall. And I feel there's a Caitlin Schaub, great writer there. I know Caitlin. She's fantastic. I root for her. I'm hoping the best things for her.
Mm-hmm.
But that paper stopped reporting Wisconsin Rapids.
It did.
It stopped reporting Central Wisconsin. It's pretty much Marshfield, whatever, and all that, and a bunch of major headlines, because that's what happened in the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
That happened, unfortunately. I love newspapers. I like journalism. I think it's very vital and very important. I don't think it's a coincidence that we have the issues we have with politics and media, and journalism has gone away.
Yeah.
That's not a coincidence.
No.
So I don't want to make this sound like I'm happy about this. But the Tribune, they pull people, they pull out of this city completely. And they've got like one representative here. They do a tiny bit of reporting here every once in a while. And now everybody goes to the Wisconsin Rapid City Times. They go to that for their news. That's the newspaper they're grabbing. That's the because they didn't stay local, because they tried to use a one-size-fits-all approach to things. If you force people to listen to something that they don't want to listen to, what are they going
to
do?
They're going to listen to something else.
They're going to listen to something else. It's not that difficult. Like, you cannot do that to people. You have to give them, you have to listen to the people. You have to do what they're, it's not as if we do this for ourselves. Like, we get a paycheck. We enjoy this.
Yeah.
It's never been about us.
No.
I don't know many people that do this job that have. Mm-hmm. From my recent incarnation here with Bob and Carl and so many other great people I've been able to work with, selfless. And the first thing was the people. If you start there, if you listen to the people, you start with the people, you tend to, things tend to work out, and you may actually have a radio station that lasts 80 plus years.
Exactly.
It's pretty darn
exactly.
cool.
Exactly, yep.
And I do all this to promote our local content. I did want to use it as a segue to get into our weekend content, because we are still doing great local radio,
exactly.
And we've got some great local stuff on the radio this weekend. We, of course, it all kicks off with the Sunshine Polka Show, arguably the greatest show you will ever hear.
Arguably, I don't know. I think the numbers are in.
I think it just speaks for itself.
It does. So you can catch that, of course, either at 7 a.m. on Saturday. Get your weekend started off right. Early, some early morning polka. Or if you miss it, Sunday at 1. You have some nice after church afternoon. Sunday afternoon is perfect for a Sunday afternoon.
Our man Tim Hubble scours the earth looking for rare, awesome, weird polka and fun stuff. And make sure that you have a good time. Tim, also great banter. Like, he's a good talker. Yeah. It's a good fun show.
You can tell he loves the music. Comes out,
I've told him 100 times. I've never gotten into polka, but listening to his show doing Over the Back Fence and everything, it's like, I dig what he does. I like it. We also, of course, have some other great stuff going on this weekend. Seth Faces the Music from 6 to 8 on Sunday night. Seth, what is your theme this week?
Oh, I finally got there. I finally made it. It's my first mystery show.
Ooh, all right.
It's not songs about mystery. No. That one will be coming eventually, I'm sure.
Gotcha.
But this is all of our songs are going to be connected in some way.
Oh.
All 2 hours, every song will be connected in some way. And then that's the mystery. What is the connection? Why are these songs connected?
I love that.
Don't worry. At the end of the show, I will reveal the connection.
I will reveal it.
You don't have to write in, what was it? I don't know.
Because
it's going to be kind of tough. I think if people try to figure it on their own, it's going to be, it'll be a challenge. But I think in the end, I think people enjoy it. The music is great. And it came organic. I've been wanting to do a show like this for a while. I just didn't know what the connection would be. And I found it just this last weekend. I'm like, oh, there it is. Boom. And that was it. So
very cool. Wow, looking forward to that. That is going to be a lot of fun. We will have Director's Cut for you right after that from 8 to 9. We've been really appreciative to all the feedback, all the positive support that show has got, all our shows have gotten.
Yeah.
Jordan, I sent Jordan a couple of videos. Jordan Bain was with us last week's Director's Cut. If you missed it, catch the podcast at civicmedia.us. And Jordan, I wanted to hear how he felt, and he liked the show. He liked this. All he wanted to talk about was Seth Faces the Music. He loves that show, so that was great.
It's great.
But we appreciated having Jordan on. We have appreciated all the artists that we have had on here, and of course, a shout out to Connie Tomsky, Fayville, and Friends of Rapids Music, FRM. All the work that we've done with them. This week, we are going to just have the closed team meeting. We're going to Seth and I are going to be doing the show together.
Yep.
Got a couple of topics we're going to run through. We're going to let you know what's new on your small screen and big screens this weekend. We'll certainly touch on that. And I want to get into some of the other movies coming out in April. The new Star Wars movies, what those mean.
That were revealed, yes.
Yeah. I want to get into that. And save our shows. There is a new call for a bunch of TV shows that people are looking to save. I want to bring attention to that and let people know about them and how they can save those shows if it's a show that they want to save.
Yeah, interesting. Very cool.
And if we have time, I want to talk about the perfect cast. Like, we've got a list of movies that have the perfect cast, and we're going to tear it to shreds.
Okay,
we're,
that's good. Let's do it. Yeah.
We'll have some fun with it and see if we have any suggestions. One other thing that we want to do, I think that one of the hallmarks of a good show is segments inside said show.
Yeah.
That Ain't Right, Good Stories of the Day, Pet of the Week, these kind of things.
Yep.
Misty's Menu, like we have with the morning show here.
Yep.
So I want to do a segment called Dissecting Film, where we have a guest on, and they pick the movie, and the three of us dissect that movie.
Cool.
Give the audience information about it they don't know or they haven't known before and that kind of thing. It can be any movie. I don't care if it's from 1940 or if it's 2023. And when these things usually get done, this isn't a new concept. People have done this kind of thing for years. But they usually do it with, like, film critics or something like that. I want you. I want all of you out there. I just want people. You don't have to be a film critic. I don't care if it's the only movie you've ever watched. We want to talk to you about it. That's what we do here is local and talking to people. We do what I like to call relatable radio. And I think that that's what's again, part of the reason coming full circle, part of the reason why we've been around here so long. If I notice one theme with the voices on this station, it is relatable radio. That's what we will continue to do. As long as we are on these airwaves, that is what we will do.
That's right.
It should be fun, but we do want to have our guests on. We do want to have people on Director's Cut. And, of course, we welcome all artists.
Yep.
I don't care what you do. It's art. Let us know and reach out to us. We'd love to have you on Director's Cut. You can email either one of us, james.maloff@civicmedia.us. James.maloff@civicmedia.us. Seth's email is the same.
Yep, Seth.habhager. You figured it out. At civicmedia.us. No,
that was good. Also, you can direct message us on Facebook.
Yep.
And that's the way to get us birthdays, anniversaries, and, of course, you know, any show ideas, things like that. We love having feedback from you guys.
Absolutely.
We will take a break right here. We'll come back with our National Day of Calendar on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this April 13th.
All right.
It is International FND Awareness Day.
FND.
Learn and raise awareness about FND, or functional neurological disorder, a poorly understood and rarely talked about disorder affecting many. When it comes to disorders and diseases, one of the most common misconceptions is that people are in control of their symptoms. With disorders like FND, that is not the case. As a matter of fact, many disorders and diseases don't have cures to them. So for disorders that don't have much in the way of research, it can be hard for doctors and patients to find a way of treating symptoms and diagnosing the problem.
Yeah.
FND is just one of those disorders that leave many puzzled and wanting answers. Read more and find out what you can know about this, and that is just you yourself learning about it can go a long ways, and you never know where you can share this information.
Right.
The symptoms come from neither psychological or organic routes, but the pain is still exists. Hence, why FND is not as widely heard of, unlike diseases like Parkinson's disease.
Oh, okay. All right.
But it is, many people suffer from it.
Yes. Yes. Anytime we can focus, you know, there's so many disorders and things of that nature about the brain that we just don't understand that much about. And that's something we, as we keep going on here, that I think is really important.
It's 2023 and we are still mapping the brain.
Yeah.
We're still, like, that's the equivalent of if there were parts of the world we hadn't discovered yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, you know, south of the equator, I don't know. I mean, I think there's some stuff over there. I'm not sure. Literally, that is the equivalent of that. Is
it,
the
it really
of
is.
That.
It really is.
It's crazy. National Thomas Jefferson Day.
Okay.
Today celebrates Thomas Jefferson, who was the third president of the United States from 1801 to 1809, the principal author of the Declaration of Independence in 1776, and one of the most influential founding fathers of his for his promotion of the ideals of the republicanism in the United States. Mm-hmm. Major events during his presidency include the Louisiana Purchase in 1803 and the Lewis and Clark Expedition, among many other things.
Yes, indeed.
I think many of us did book reports on Thomas Jefferson and things like that.
Yes, I think we all did, didn't we?
I would never want to speak for somebody else, especially somebody who has passed. By going by what the forefathers wanted, and you know, including Benjamin Franklin and all that in there, mm-hmm. one of the things that was the biggest to them was accountability.
Mm.
And a transparency
right.
with government and its people.
Checks and balances, yeah.
Yes, they wanted to get away from hierarchy. They wanted to get away from kings and queens telling the poor people what to do, mm-hmm. and there's being this imbalance.
Yep.
So I think that it is, I believe in my heart, it is fair to say when you talk about Thomas Jefferson, there is good and there is bad.
Of course.
Just like every other single human being that has ever existed.
Exactly.
It doesn't take any away from anything that the man accomplished.
Right.
It doesn't take away from America. It doesn't mean that you can't wave our flags or anything like that.
No.
It means that we are a country that holds our politicians accountable, that holds our people accountable, that holds each other accountable.
Exactly.
When was the last time that was wrong? When did that become wrong?
Yeah.
To admit that Thomas Jefferson had slaves, slept with slaves, had obviously by now there is scientific showing and proof that he had
many children
with a lot of those slaves. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. I'm not telling you anything controversial here. These are all facts. Mm-hmm. These are all real things, and nothing is wrong with any of that. Well, obviously things are talking about it
is
not wrong.
Yeah,
with,
I know
about
what you meant,
it and everything. Owning these things, there's nothing wrong with that. Was history. It is not for us to judge. It is for us to to learn, to comprehend, and to continue to learn from and continue.
Exactly.
There's no placement for judgment with the past.
Right, right.
Like, you can do that all you want. Hindsight's always going to be 20/20.
Yeah.
If they knew what they know now, maybe they wouldn't have done those things. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I don't know, and none of us do. But we do know what did happen.
Right.
And to whitewash history, it does a disservice not only to children, not only to our future, but to America.
In general.
Like, that's it's against what these guys did.
Yeah.
Like, the whole reason for this experiment in democracy in America, and bring me your poor, bring me your tired, all of these things. It ceases to mean anything if we don't have reality, if we don't have accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'd be no different if nowadays we just let this Santos guy go and keep doing what he's doing and everything, even though he literally lied about everything to get elected. But we just let him stay because, well, we don't want to make America look bad or anything like that. Like, guess what? For one, the rest of the world already sees our scars, our bruises, and all that. And more so, the rest of the world in our own country would have a lot more respect, I think, if we did a better job of owning these things.
Right, right, right. Just because you understand something doesn't mean you approve of it.
Yeah.
You can understand without having to say, this person did this thing, and I understand maybe one of the reasons they did. Doesn't mean I'm excusing it. There's a big difference there.
I have barely any flaws. My only flaw is that I have hardly any flaws. I'm an amazing person, but there's some things I'm sure that history will find that are flaws
of course,
about me and stuff.
Of course.
I really hope this sarcasm.
You really tried to sell that,
I was really, really trying to find a way to lighten the moment there. National Scrabble Day, the game that I always lost to my nana. My nana would keep us up on a school night until midnight just to beat me in a game of Scrabble.
So is there more arguments over Scrabble or Monopoly, do you think?
That's a great question.
So I think we have to, maybe we should do a poll.
We'd have to do it from the start because I believe Scrabble's been around longer than Monopoly. So
probably.
We'd have to do it when Monopoly started and start right from there. And I believe it is 50-50. I'm
probably.
Pretty sure it is 50-50. I love Scrabble, though. I
will
not pretend
game,
I'm any good at it. I'm not a great speller.
Doesn't
I'm not
matter.
Great at it. It's just a fun
it's
game.
It's a
to
fun
play,
game.
I think
yeah.
it is. I noticed this with board games, and I think a lot of people could probably relate to this. Mm-hmm. I find they're so nostalgic. it almost doesn't matter how the current game is going.
Yeah.
I'm in part of my brain is, 13 again,
yep.
playing that game with my Nana and my Aunt Pat at yeah. like 11 o'clock at night, you know, when I'm supposed to be asleep or whatever and everything. And
that's great.
Those
no.
two are,
oh, no, there's nothing. I don't think there's anything more nostalgic than board games.
Yeah. yeah.
Absolutely.
I think video games are getting close.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I certainly think music is a time machine.
Oh, for sure.
You hear a song from your childhood and it brings you back. But
yeah.
Yeah, I think board games
those
right
tend to
there.
Be more personal things. I think board games are good, you know, because they're such a social thing. Yeah, I think that for that kind of stuff, yeah, they bring
well
back
said.
more of the relationships that you
well
had.
Well said, yes. National Make Lunch Count Day. What is lunch? taking a break during lunchtime can help increase productivity, creativity, and mental well-being. So step away from work, enjoy your meal, and recharge.
And then take a nap.
Yeah, right. all we do is go. All we do is work. You get that hour. You get that whatever it is. Take it.
Take it.
And you know, decompress. Get away from work. Stop thinking about it for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that your work will actually be better from it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I don't do this nearly enough. I am not trying to tell people what to do. I'm saying this so that I, along with the rest mm-hmm. of you, learn to do this.
Well, and I've realized something about myself, and I don't know if this is any, this, you know, anyone else has this thing. If I do anything for an overly long period of time, yeah, I start doing worse at it, you know, or whatever yeah. it is, play a game, a video game, or if I'm working on a project, things start to go downhill. And then I realize, oh, wait, I need to take a break.
Yeah.
Because it just from what you said, you got to recharge. Get your mind off of it for a while. Think about something else. Do something else.
Takes a moment to do sometimes, but it is so worth it.
You're
not only your work, but your mental health. Your mind will be so much appreciative of it.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, it is National Peach Cobbler Day.
Oh, peach cobbler.
A warm and sweet dessert filled with the goodness of fresh fruit and topped with a crisp crust. The perfect treat to enjoy after a hearty meal.
I have a little trouble with peach cobbler, not because I don't like the taste of it, because I like peaches and I like peach cobbler. When I was a Boy Scout, we overdid it.
Oh.
Every camping trip we had peach cobbler.
Would you say?
And after a while, it just gets to be too much.
Would you say that you love peaches, millions of peaches for free?
Peaches, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Peach cobbler, no.
You really overdid it with the peach cobbler.
I did, really yes. Did it. I still like peaches, but the cobbler, I'll pass. I'll pass on that.
I kind of did that with peanut butter. Like from
yeah.
ages 0 to like 19, just way too much peanut butter.
And then, yeah, now it's a little tough, right? Yeah.
The background of National Peach Cobbler Day dates back more than 70 years to the 1950s when the Georgia Peach Council began to promote the day with the state. Some people are curious about the fact that fresh peaches are not available in the month of April when the day is scheduled, but it seems that was the intention. That was intentional.
Oh,
that's because the day was purposely situated so that canned peaches would be used to make peach cobbler.
Ah,
nicely done, Georgia
wow.
Peach Council.
That was some smart
yeah.
thinking.
Yeah.
Way to go!
Especially in the '50s.
Yeah, like, not I mean, bad.
That
not
is,
bad.
That is some innovative thinking right there. Enjoy some peach cobbler today. I couldn't tell you. I know I've had. I couldn't tell you the last time I had.
Mm.
It doesn't sound bad, though.
Oh, no, it's not.
I'm such a crust guy. Like a crust,
oh,
bread, like
yeah.
any like anything good there, and you've got me. You mm-hmm. you win me over right away with that. So that sounds pretty darn good to me. I think that's all right. We will take a break right here. We'll come back after Melissa's news and have some more fun. We're going to talk about a little baseball. We got to talk about America's favorite baseball mascots and what's been what some of the changes going on inside the ballpark with some of these games.
All right.
It's coming up on the morning show at WFHR.
Ooh, baby, I love your way every day. Yeah, yeah.
Welcome back, everyone, to the morning show here at WFHR. I refuse to do a fake Jamaican accent like that, man.
Is it fake? I guess I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Rusted Root, not exactly authentic.
No.
But got a hit song out of it.
They did.
Got a hit song out of it.
They probably could have done it without the accent,
yeah, probably,
though. It's a
probably,
pretty good song. So,
it's,
yeah.
it's not bad. It's
yeah.
not bad. Isn't it a remake?
I think it is.
Is it a Peter Frampton song?
Yes, it is. I think you're right.
Okay,
yeah.
I think so.
But now I'm
think
trying
so.
To remember if it's actually a Peter Frampton song or not.
I'm not even sure. I'm not even
He might have taken it from someone, too.
Yeah.
Covered it from someone.
I'm losing my classic rock card as we speak. Yeah. Welcome back to the show, everybody. 7:40 on the clock. Seth and Jan. I didn't know it was still going.
Yeah.
Seth and... Seth and James here with you. We want to get into a couple of interesting things here. And the first one I wanted to touch on was mascots. Now, maybe even you don't like baseball, you don't care about sports, but most people know mascots and even have an opinion or feeling on mascots.
That's true.
Do you? You are a diehard. You're one of the most, you, my father, my papa, the biggest baseball fans I know.
Yeah.
Are you a mascot guy?
Not really.
No.
I understand why they're there, you know, and it's fun when you go to the rafters, you know, and you see, you know, our fun mascot, because I can't for some reason remember his name. Roscoe wandering around. But for like Major League Baseball, do you really need a mascot? I don't know.
It's kind of weird the way that it goes in my head. I don't pretend that this makes any sense. I think when it comes to high school sports, it comes to minor league baseball. Mm-hmm. Not only mascots, I want like every team to have some kind of weird, crazy, fun mascot
and name. Yeah, nickname kind of thing.
I genuinely think the greatest names in sports are all minor league baseball teams.
Yes.
They have the greatest names in sports. They do promote. Voting the best, and that includes Northwoods League. That includes leagues like that as well. They come up with the name. They're creative. They have fun with it. It's not everything is birds or cats or dogs or whatever.
Right. Well, one of my favorite recent ones, they were just in the news recently because they were on the losing side of a no-hitter that they pitched but lost, the Trash Pandas.
Oh, that's a great name. Yes.
It's a team out of Tennessee, the Trash.
Yes. And the bunch of raccoons. Oh, God, is that good. Yeah. With the Mud Skippers. I mean, there's so many great minor league baseball names.
No, they're fun. They can do whatever they want, too. They don't care. That's great.
I think that with that, it's all really good. When you get to the major league level, it is they're trying to balance of making it a family sport and also trying to, you know, it's a professional sport.
Right.
So I don't begrudge them, but I do think that we need to kind of maybe tinker with the mascot thing and rework that somehow.
I think so.
Major League Baseball's opening day just a couple weeks ago, and someone conducted a poll on the best and worst baseball mascots. They showed 1,000 people a series of head-to-head mascot matchups, and people picked the best one in each matchup. Afterward, they looked at which ones performed the best across all voting. America's favorite mascot is Paws from the Detroit Tigers.
Really?
I'm not sure I'm familiar with who that is.
I don't know if I have ever seen... No, have I seen Paws? I'm guessing it's pretty cute.
I'm pulling up a picture. It's just a tiger in a tiger uniform.
Tiger uniform.
Detroit Tiger uniform.
He's pretty cute looking, though. So, yeah I see that. Bad. I can see that.
Now, that seems like a family-friendly mascot.
Yes.
That
yes,
seems like sure. like a pretty good one. The runner-ups were Clark the Cub from the Chicago Cubs. That's always been a big fan
Clark
favorite.
I didn't know that was his name.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Let me see here. And T.C. Bear from the Minnesota Twins.
Yes. I've seen him many, many times. So, yeah, I'm still trying to figure out why they chose a bear.
Yep. Don't understand that one.
Because, I mean, okay, getting like a pair of twins maybe might be a bit much, you know, as their mascot.
Yeah.
But I guess a bear is as good as any. I mean, they could have chosen a loon, I suppose, or, you know, some of the more Minnesota, you know, kind of thing. But, oh, well.
I would think that you would go a little more. Yeah, I know. But arguably the most famous mascot, the Philly Fanatic from the Philadelphia Phillies, came in 10th.
Wow, he's losing his prestige. What's going on, Fanatic?
That's a shame. You know, gotta up your game, Philly.
He has ticked off too many people. That's part of it. You know, Tommy Lasorda famously hated the Philly. No, that was real, too. That was not a joke. He did not like the Philly Fanatic.
I would make the argument that that may be the most famous mascot.
Either that or the San Diego Chicken, although we're getting farther away from the San Diego Chicken anymore. So,
speaking of, now I would say a sports mascot. I want to be clear.
Yeah.
You know, sports mascot. I think, there's certainly big. Mickey's a pretty big mascot for Disney. I would think that's probably the biggest mascot in the world. But
that a Mario,
For
Nintendo, right?
Yeah. That's a good one, too. You just mentioned San Diego. Mm-hmm. The Swinging Friar came in last for the San Diego Padres.
What?
And I think I understand that.
Really? I kind of like the Swinging Friar. I think he's kind of cool.
It's not bad. It's not bad, but I have a theory on mascots.
Oh, okay.
And I'll get to it in a second, but I think there's a reason for that. The second worst is Slider from the Cleveland Guardians. I have not even seen Slider before. Slider is a ripoff of the Philly Fanatic.
Yeah, sort of. Kind of a weird monster type polka dot, pink and yellow polka dots kind of thing. Really? because Slider's been around for a while. I'm kind of surprised, not just like just for being longevity. Sometimes that's all you need, but apparently not anymore.
Yeah.
Apparently people want the new, the new mascots.
They ranked all. They ranked 27 mascots, with the main one from each team. Their teams don't have a the teams that don't have a mascot: the Yankees, Dodgers, and Angels. For what it's worth, more than half of baseball fans think that those teams should get a mascot, while about one third say they should not. The rest don't really care one way or the other.
Right.
Now, I could not find the complete poll. Here,
oh, okay.
Because I wanted to see where like Bernie Brewer ended up and that kind of thing.
I would think Bernie would be a little bit higher.
Here we go. I found it.
Nice.
Today.ugov.com. Today.ugov.com. If you are curious, you can go ahead and check that out right there. Let's see here. So where is the Toronto Blue Jays ace? New York Mets' Mr. Met is in there. Stomper from the Oakland Athletics. I like Stomper.
Stomper's good.
He's an elephant. Yeah, yeah. The Mariners with a moose. I like
the
that
Mariner
one
moose.
Too.
I like the Mariner moose. Yeah.
And the Philly Fanatic. But okay, so they just give you a top 10. They don't give you the whole, that's a joke. What a bad list.
I'm surprised. Bernie, I thought, was a little more popular than that.
I would think Bernie's probably in the right outside the top 10 or something like that. But I will say this. Outside of Bernie Brewer, I think that you can't have a human face as a mascot. I don't think it ends well. I don't think it goes well. Kids don't like it.
Little anthropomorphized kids, animals. That's the way you should go.
Honestly, it's the only way to go because kids do not like those the face mat. Like, there's a couple examples. The Pittsburgh Steelers a while back had that mascot with the big chin that looked like a Bill Cowher, basically. And that didn't go over very well. But I give you the King Baby from the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, no.
King Baby mascot. If you would like to never sleep again, go ahead and Google, look up whatever search engine you use, King Baby mascot from the New Orleans Pelicans. You Google that, and I warned you, I told you already, you may never sleep again.
Pure nightmare fuel.
I would watch every single Nightmare Before Elm Street and Friday the 13th movie back to back to back to back and sleep like a baby. That King Baby thing freaks me out, man.
You're not the only one.
It's just, yeah, right.
And wait a minute. They're pelicans. Why don't they have a pelican?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally right there.
In the
just
name.
Sitting there. Just have a pelican.
Just
you
have
didn't
a pelican.
Have to do the gigantic baby with the creepy face. You didn't have to do that. What are you doing to kids in New Orleans? It's already tough enough there.
Let's hope they don't win they'll get any further the playoffs.
They
have
lost.
To play. They did lose last night. Lost. Okay, all right.
I did. I also use all this to be able to bring up our Rafters. The Rafters kick off their season May 29th against the Lakeshore Chinooks. Another great name, Chinooks.
That's
great
a good name. One too. Yeah.
Not as good as Rafter though. We, of course, are your home for the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Every hit, every pitch, every win of Rafter baseball from their inception to now will be right here at WFHR. Looking forward to a new season of Rafter baseball.
Oh,
get your tickets. Find out more. NorthwoodsLeague.com. NorthwoodsLeague.com. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James here with you. And it is 7:51 on the clock. We'll take it to the top of the hour. CBS News will come in and catch you up on all your world news. After that, we're going to be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center, and we're going to get a live and direct update about what Mother Nature is up to. Looking forward to it. After that, we will get into movie characters who are basically impossible to kill. That should be fun. That should be an interesting list. I think that there's some names that may not be on the list. So we want the audience participation on that one.
I'll
give you guys
there,
a heads up on that. We're looking forward to it, 424-2600. Or you can email us or direct message us on Facebook, your answers. Also, after that, of course, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Plenty more coming up throughout the show. Great 9 o'clock hour. It's Pet of the Week Day, so we got Madison and the Southwick County Humane Society in with us in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yep.
And after that, Mary Bell Miller is going to join us. She is with the All-Girls Troop 9118. And she's got a blood drive that she put together for Assumption. We're going to talk to her about that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Plenty coming up. But right now, wrapping up a little bit of baseball talk, and this is kind of hilarious. So we like to joke with Melissa all the time that, you know, she don't care about sports, doesn't pay attention. And more power to her, to be honest with her
and
everything. I can't imagine how much bandwidth I waste on sports.
I was going to say, the sheer time we waste on sports.
I can't help it. I admit that I have a problem, and I own it. Melissa, I was just going to get into this article about, and I've been teasing it about MLB games and them getting shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa just sent me almost the same article.
Oh my gosh.
quote from Melissa, and you say, I don't pay attention to sports, huh? I say. Well played, Mel.
That was
well
good.
Well played. Very nice. Nicely done, Melissa. Still here in spirit.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
We'll be talking with Melissa on Monday. She'll be joining us on the show, of course. And don't forget that Kitchen's Open segment on Monday. Always be looking for that. And a shout out to our friends at Chatterbox Catering.
Yes, indeed.
Major League Baseball made several changes this year, including the pitch clock, which has drastically shortened game times.
Mm-hmm.
9-inning games are down 31 minutes from an average of 3 hours, 9 minutes last year to 2 hours and 38 minutes this year.
Wow.
This is the fastest average time since 1984. Most people seem to like the changes, but there's one problem. Shorter, faster games mean there's less opportunity for fans to spend money at the ballpark on concessions, merchandise, and, of course, beer.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, teams have stopped selling alcohol after the seventh inning.
Right.
But four teams have already pushed that back to the eighth inning now. The Arizona Diamondbacks, the Texas Rangers, the Minnesota Twins, and the Milwaukee Brewers. And a handful of other teams are talking about following suit.
Interesting. Okay.
I think this is the same thing that baseball players, everybody's on the same page here.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants a more productive game.
Yep.
I don't think it's so much that we needed faster games. We needed more action.
Exactly.
I needed something to watch the game other than, do I see a strikeout or a home run?
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Strikeout, walk, or home run, right?
That's not baseball.
Boring.
This has opened up the game and brought mm-hmm. it back to when we were kids, to when my dad was a kid, to the baseball again.
Yep.
But you've got to adjust. You've got to, I mean, parks still need to make money. Fans mm-hmm. still need to have fun. It shouldn't. We had some talk about this on Playmakers the other day. It's kind of weird to think of it can take you longer to get to the ballpark than you spend in the ballpark.
Which is very strange these days, because we've gotten used to those really long games.
They're going to have to make adjustments.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if next year they add 5 more seconds to the pitch clock or something like that. These are their rules. They can change and adjust them as they choose.
Mm-hmm.
Just listening to the fans, I think, is a big part of it. I think it's the best thing baseball's done in a long time, listening to their fan base.
Yes.
That's why they made these changes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to listen again and make sure that they are getting the, you know, because it's not just the fans, of course. We need these parks to be successful. We need these concessioners, the Miller people, all these different companies to do well. They're big conglomerates. They're big companies. They're still local companies.
Yeah, exactly.
They're still, like, especially
local bottlers,
in the case
local
of
distributors,
Miller and everything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's all comes together, all important. I don't think it's a big deal. I certainly think that we have to keep an eye on it, because mm-hmm. if you see, like, drunk driving numbers rise after baseball games or something like that, then we got to adjust that.
Exactly.
But otherwise,
I think, you know, it's the trade-off for this for me is and because we're just a couple of weeks into it, we don't have any numbers yet, and we won't have numbers for a while about attendance and everything. But if because of this, attendance starts going up, because people are like, well, I don't have to spend 4 hours at the ballpark. I can spend, you know, 3 or whatever like that. If more people start coming, then that's going to, you know, help them out as well, because the people will be buying more concessions. If you have more people, of course, they're going to buy more food, more drinks, more whatever. And if that kind of balances everything out, I don't know if it will at this point, but we'll have to see if that is the case as the season goes along.
I think that over time, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're also not going to have the park open as long as usual.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not spending as much money as you would normally. Having the lights on 3 hours as opposed to 2 is
exactly.
a lot different.
Yeah.
So you don't have as much overhead as you
mm-hmm.
normally would.
Mm-hmm.
It also could mean kind of an adjustment coming for MLB salaries. I don't know,
it
could affect that. Really, they do this right. It's not as if they're going to be losing money. Like,
no.
They were already doing that. They were already losing money. There was very few baseball parks in America out of the 32. Guess how many of them were profitable?
Mm.
Yeah.
The parks, the owners, I think, were doing fine. But
yeah.
But I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying about that part, yeah.
So, you know, these adjustments, it's just, it's not that different than the inflation we've been dealing with in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
The, you listen to Warren Buffett, you listen to the smartest minds out there that understand the economy a lot better than I do. Mm-hmm. These things were going to happen. You don't come out of a pandemic unscathed. But they happened a lot quicker because of certain things, and because we didn't, the certain things we just couldn't have prepared for, we couldn't have understood. Nobody understood that there was going to be a canal, a boat stuck in a canal.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, what the heck?
That we needed that one little device from and everything. Like, nobody, sorry, we didn't see that coming. I love all the people with hindsight that love to look back at that stuff. We should have done this. We should have done.
Right.
Yeah, where were you? Where were you, man? Huh? Send an email.
Come on, man.
Give us a heads up on this stuff. All of this is adjusting and kind of working through it and everything. We're finding some grace along the way and maybe extending the drinking period in baseball games is a way to do this.
The amazing thing to me is that it's been so few things like this, that there's so few downsides that have appeared. There's a few things, yeah, but the players now have seemed to have accepted it like wholeheartedly. Everyone, batters, pitchers, it doesn't matter. I have not heard complaining from the players.
I like that this still exists in sports, especially in baseball. You can tell the veterans, the Scherzers, they talked up and they made sure, like real leadership, they didn't, you know, talk down to anybody or anything like that. They said their feelings and let them sit there.
Yep.
And the rest of these younger players were like, okay, yeah. If Max Scherzer's all right with this,
exactly.
I'm going to roll. I'm going to keep going.
Yep.
We are going to keep rolling and going. We got some good stuff coming up for you. CBS News right at the top of the hour. After that, live direct update from our Weather Eye Weather Center. And then people voted, and we're going to get into the most hard to kill characters in any TV movie, whatever it is. Movies. I think it's movies.
Nice.
That is going to be a fun list and an interesting list. I don't think it's going to be as obvious as you might think it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be some interesting names in there.
Yep.
Coming up on the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.